the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momutsian, back on the show once again, the legendary coach Brendan Sir. How you doing, coach?
Mo, I'm doing great. Great. Another great win by OKC, and now it's down to one.
Absolutely.
They can smell it now. This is fun when you get down to one win.
They take a 3-2 series lead with a 120-109 victory at home in game five. It felt like, to me, tonight was the first time OKC have played like OKC in this finals. Would you agree?
I thought game two they played really well too at home.
The bounce
they won
back
by 17. Yeah, I thought they played well. You know, when you're playing against really good teams, it should be back and forth, back and forth. I don't care if it's Bulls when they were winning their championships. Every game should be tight. And then there's just plays that happen in the fourth quarter to determine the endings of every game. That's what makes it the two best teams in the league at this time of year. And that's important that we say that these are the two best teams in the league at this point. And I think Indiana's, they're really good. They're really, really good, and they just can't get it all together.
They are. They managed to kind of hang around in this game. They, in fact, cut the lead to 2 late in the game in the fourth quarter, and they ultimately lost for 2 factors here. Number one, 22 turnovers in a game in the NBA Finals is going to kill you. Number two, Tyrese Haliburton, 0-6 from the field. He picked up what looked like an injury during the game. How much do you think that affected him versus just having a bad game?
No, I think it's huge, probably. I think he's probably, if this was regular season, he probably wouldn't play for several games. You know, but this is no time. You can't, unless you break something, you can't be hurt. You know, I mean, you have to play through injuries, you know. And so Rick let him play 34 minutes. I thought, you know, Connell was playing so well, I thought he maybe should have gone with him and Nembhard, you know, and stuff. And Naismith's playing great, you know, and I just, again, freaking Siakam is terrific. Just
absolutely
terrific player. What a player.
Absolutely. Let's go through it from the start. You know, OKC back again with their two bigs starting the game. Chet started this one really aggressive. I like that from him kind of saying it. He only finished with 9 points, 11 rebounds, but those early first quarter points, I like to see that from him. Rick Carlisle, did they give him a tech? I see them screaming at the ref early in the game.
I thought they gave him a tech, but they, you know, it didn't have one listed on the play-by-play, but I thought he got one.
Yeah, same.
I think he really did.
And sometimes as a coach, you know, you want to get that tech on behalf of your players almost to kind of get the message to the referees.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, when you're on the road, you know, your antennas are up because, you know, everything counts. And so I think he wanted to just set the tone. He was nice to the referees over the weekend by, you know, saying that.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he did what I called some really good gamesmanship. And then I think he wanted to let them know that that applied to that crew, not to you guys. But, you know, it's a hard game to officiate. You could almost call a foul every play of the game, you know. And I thought they let a lot go, to be honest with you, both ways. I thought a lot of guys were getting hit. My biggest thing, Mo, is two things. I don't like guys getting fouled when they shoot the ball because it makes them look bad. If they get fouled and they miss a shot. So we use an expression called protect a shooter. So if a guy's shooting and you get fouled, you got to call it. And I think there's both ways guys were getting fouled. And the other thing that you rarely see, but it's been constant with Indiana, is because they pick up full court, this is like 1980, 1990 hand check NBA basketball. That's been outlawed forever.
Yeah.
And so they're allowing it, which is a huge advantage because it's really wearing out Shea, and that's something that he can't handle because the strength of the guys guarding him are really, like when Naismith and those guys get on him, I mean, they're really strong. And McConnell gets into you. He's tough. Nembhard's playing very aggressive defensively. But, you know, But
We you're seeing more from OKC. They're setting more screens in the backcourt now as Shai's trying to bring up the ball. And they kind of had the ball in Shai's hands a lot more in this one in terms of bringing the ball up the court. And Shai had a fantastic game when it comes to his playmaking. He had double-digit assists. You know, earlier in the series, he really struggled with getting those assists. Obviously, it's conditional upon his teammates making shots. However, you know, his impact and, you know, the way he can get to the basket, get to the mid-range. Even early on in this one, the Pacers' defense was collapsing. They were helping out with the corners, leaving shooters open to the end that, you know, OKC, who in the last game were, what, 1 of 12 from the three-point line for most of the game. In the fourth quarter alone tonight, they were 4 of 6. And the biggest factor in setting the tone and getting a 10-point lead at the end of the first was 7 turnovers from Indiana. But I think everyone on OKC played fantastically. Cason Wallace and Andrew, not Andrew, Aaron Wiggins, excuse me. They played fantastically off the bench. They hit down 7 threes between them, and just defensively. And Chet's defense was also insane in that second quarter. Just really doing what OKC does best and getting back to their identity.
He can really block shots for a guy that's so thin. But I'm really worried about him long term with his bad body, lack of physicality. You always think he's going to get hurt. But they're one game away from winning it. You know, 4 for 15 from the floor is terrible for a guy like that. You know, they got really nothing offensively out of their two big men, but those two guys, SGA and then J Dub, you know, I think 71 boat points between them, just incredible.
Absolutely. 31 for Shai, 40 for Jalen Williams. You know, we'll talk about that in a sec. So at halftime, OKC are up by 14. Haliburton 0 of 5. Shai's got 13 points, 5 assists. J-Dub had 16 points at the half. So the bulk of his scoring came in, you know, the second half of the game. But you know, the stat that I always pick up on in these finals matchups is Indiana at halftime had 10 turnovers and only 11 assists. Whereas OKC had 4 turnovers and 16 assists, which is something they've not been doing throughout the series, you know, keeping control of the ball and moving the basketball. They did such a better job in tonight's game of moving that basketball.
You know, we've talked about it throughout all the playoffs, Mo, is that your role players play better at home. Again, Wiggins with a terrific game like he had in game two, again, now in game five at home, you know, where he doesn't get anything, frankly, on the road. Same thing for, you know, Wallace, you know, played well coming up. Unfortunately, Caruso after the great game for nothing tonight
He
offensively
was
at
still
all.
great on defense, but offense, the
Yeah.
shots just weren't falling.
Well, you know, he's physical, he's tough, he's always going to put his nose, he's going to give you what he has, but you know, he's a great teammate and a team player, and he also is smart enough to understand who's got it going. I thought they took some very quick and bad shots that allowed Indiana to get back in the game, and costly turnovers. But when their defense, you know, in the fourth quarter starts to pick up, they're amazing as far as getting steals. You don't see that many NBA teams that can get steals like they can. Very unusual.
Absolutely. You know, you say role players play better at home. That is
Yes.
usually the case. But TJ McConnell tonight was trying to break that trend because he came up with a huge third quarter. He finished with 18 points in this one. And he almost single-handedly got the Pacers back in the game. It was just bucket after bucket after bucket.
Yeah, that's a saying we say usually for your home team. Great bench players like the other day, Caruso, 20 on the road. You know, the great guys like McCollum, they play well no matter where they play. But the guys that, you know, are not consistent, that's the only place you have a shot with them at home. TJ is one of my favorite players. He's like Caruso was last year. Every team in the league wants TJ. They wanted Caruso because they just are guys that play so hard, so tough. Those are the kind of guys you want coming off your bench.
Absolutely. TJ was huge at this, and it leaves you with the dilemma with Haliburton having a terrible game, TJ McConnell having a great game. How long, as a coach, can you go with the hot hand rather than the superstar?
Well, you know, especially the easy thing for Rick would have been the guy was hurt. So, you know, that's your excuse. You know, I always believe that, you know, you ride your star, even if they're having a bad game. because he wins you a lot of games. But when he's hurt and he's having a bad game, it's usually because he's hurt. So that's when you just say, hey, let's get you fixed up for the next game, because there was going to be a next game, even if they won. And if they won, he probably wouldn't have played the next game. If this was regular season, I guarantee he'd be done for the rest of the series, but he'll play no matter what. But I don't know what he's going to give us.
Absolutely. Well, Pascal Siakam has been showing up consistently for Indiana. Tonight, he had 28 points to go along with 5 assists, 3 steals, and 6 rebounds. And, he was the driving force both on defense and on offense for the Pacers' ability to cut the game, to cut the lead to 2 points with 8 minutes to go in the game. And when that happened, I really thought we're going to have another crazy finish here.
I thought the Pacers were going to steal the game. I
Just like
really
game
did at
one.
that point. I thought they were going to steal the damn game. And I'm saying, oh my God, they're going to win the championship, because if they had, come from 18 behind, won the game, there's no way, the
In Oklahoma.
mentality, there was no way Oklahoma was going to win in Indiana.
Well,
That's my feeling.
they cut the lead down to two and then proceeded to have four possessions with four turnovers after that. I think they had like five turnovers where it took it from a 2 point game to a, what, 13, 14 point game because OKC is just getting out, running, and scoring in transition. And that stretch was the deciding factor in this one.
And that's, we call it gap time. When the key in building leads up at any level of basketball is if you can get a stop and then score. And so as a defense, what every team is trying to do at the professional level is we have little rallying cries, and one of them is, let's get three stops in a row. And if you get three stops in a row, and then you can get out and score two of the three stops, then you have a chance to get 4 or 6 points. And that's how you try to build up leads. And so during the course of the game, one of the stats that we keep, Mo, is we call each time you get three in a row, we call that a kill.
Kill.
And you want to get seven kills for the game, then you're elite defensively. We have tw At some point during the game, you stop them 21 times, in essence, in a row, three in a row, seven different times. That's incredible. And that's how you win games.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what OKC did for this one. So let's look ahead now to game number six. From a championship mentality, you've been in this situation before. How hard is it to stay in the moment and focus on the task at hand without getting ahead of yourselves? Because, when it comes to that closeout game, the Larry O'Brien is there in the arena. You walk past it in the hallway. The balloons are in, well, they're going to be on the road, so they ain't going to have the balloons and all of that. But the champagne's stocked up in the hallway, ready to go into the locker room after the game. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
there. The world's waiting on it. And a lot of people say the closeout game is the hardest game. How do you keep your team present and in the moment?
That's the key thing. You have to win one more, and so all you focus on is winning the next game. But there's noise around you. There's people traveling with you. I'll be very surprised if OKC can pull it out. I'll be honest with you. They've never experienced it before. They've never experienced this. They don't have, like, the Bulls, the Pistons, and stuff like that. When they go on the road, the Lakers, when they'd go on the road, know how to win. And so I think it's really, really a hard thing to do for the first time. Indiana's going to be fighting for their life. Their fans are going to be insane. And I think they're going to, I predicted this was going to be a seven-game series. And I think frankly, with or without Haliburton, I think they can take it to a seventh game. I really do. OKC's just going to have to be spectacular
Yeah.
to win the game, in my opinion.
They're gonna have to do what they did again tonight and hope that it goes the same way because
Yeah,
I
because the
like
other night they
looking at
didn't
this
deserve
one,
to win
right?
last Friday. They didn't
Yeah,
deserve to win.
there are some games where even though you win the game, there's a lot that you can go back and look at the film and brush up on things, even though you got to win. But after tonight's game, they must be feeling pretty good about themselves. Obviously, there's gonna be small details, but there isn't too much that they can go back and look at in terms of
Well,
the film.
we haven't seen Jalen Williams get 40 points in a game in the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
And so You're not getting that again. That you're not getting it again. I think he's the last two games he has played exceptionally hard. He took three of the worst falls I've ever seen in an NBA game, in game four, and somehow was able to bounce right back up. Even though most guys would have been down, they would have brought a damn stretcher out for him. But he's shown me a lot of toughness. He's also shown me amazing, being an amazing competitor. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about Shea. I'm not worried about Caruso. But
Who are you worried about?
I'm worried about their front court.
Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah, I'm worried about them. I'm worried about, I'm really worried about them because I don't think they can match up to the front court of Indiana when, we found out today that Turner has been sick for like four of the games,
That
unfortunately.
makes a lot of sense because he was
Yeah.
playing
But
uncharacteristically.
he just played even though he was sick. And
Respect.
yeah, so 100%. And he plays so hard. And so they have to get some points. I think they'll get it as Siakam. Obi Toppin plays great at home.
Yep, and he had 12 points tonight. They're
But,
hoping he can do more than that.
yeah, he's
You're
got to
one of
do
five
more.
from three tonight.
That's the thing. Shoots threes well at home, not well on the road. It seems that way. But he's got to be a live body all over the boards and stuff like that, blocking shots. And they just have to be incredibly physical. And I think they will. I think Naismith's going to have to come out. I think they'll just come out and they'll defend the hell out of him and give him a shot. And if they can do that, then OKC will say, okay, we got a game seven. You have to go in there that you don't want, as their home team. I mean, as OKC, you got to go in there saying, this is the elimination game. This is our game seven tonight. W don't wait for game seven because a lot can happen, including your best players getting hurt. So you want to go in there with a mentality of a seventh game. But they've never experienced that. Veteran teams realize that. They've never experienced it. Their coach has never experienced it.
Yeah, they don't have a coach, sir, on the coaching staff to tell them this
No,
knowledge, huh?
but I mean, they just got, he's a great coach, and I spoke to him yesterday. He's a great friend, and he's gonna continue to win the off day, so he's gonna get them ready, tomorrow. I think they're taking 2 days off, I think, now for the rest of the series. Am I right?
I think the next game is on Thursday.
What is today? What, Monday? Yeah.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah. So Thursday and then Sunday if needed, right? Yeah. And so I think there's like the 2 days off play on the third day for the rest of the series. So this will help them because I think Shea is and the other guy are just exhausted. They need to rest, my opinion. So
Absolutely.
we're in a great spot. It's a great series. I predict that Indiana will win game six.
And then your prediction comes true, seven games,
That's
OKC.
all I asked for. Seven games, great basketball.
I
And
need a game seven of this series. It deserves a game. We've not seen a game seven since 2016.
is that right?
Nine
No.
years since we've had a game seven in the NBA Finals.
How about
No,
that?
I feel like we deserve it as fans.
I think I heard the other day Michael Jordan never played in a game seven in the finals in six championships, which is
Yep.
interesting.
Greatness.
Nor have I.
Greatness.
Nor have I.
Greatness, like I said. Well, there was some off-court news recently. Desmond Bane was traded to the Orlando Magic by the Memphis Grizzlies in exchange. I've got to put it up now because there's a whole list of picks that I'm going to have
Yeah.
to list out to you. But he was traded for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, as well as the number 16 pick in this year's draft, the 2026 first round pick, which includes swap rights with the Phoenix Suns or Washington Wizards, and both teams could very well end up in the lottery there. Orlando's 2028 and 2030 unprotected first round picks, and a 2029 pick swap. What was your immediate reaction to this trade?
Well, immediately you say, that's an awful lot to give up. That's immediate reaction, right? Okay. And you say, what the hell are they doing? Because I know Desmond Bane. He is one of the finest people that we have in the league. He's an absolutely fabulous shooter. He's a perfect guy on and off the court. You know what I mean? So it's a really nice piece, but he's not a superstar. He's a really good player. And so, but what the Magic said is, we don't have any money to attract free agents with our salary cap.
And they never really do attract free agents in Orlando.
Well, it's a great destination, though. But this team has been built on the draft, as you mentioned. Okay. That's how they've done it. And so their team now that they have a chance to pick up a very elite starter that can shoot. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was awful for them.
And they would have had to use a first round pick to dump KCP
Well,
anyway.
that's what they did. And that's what those picks, really what they were doing was paying off his contract. Okay. But you give people a first round pick to take a bad contract. That's what they were doing. The same with Cole Anthony. Okay, so that's why the number of picks were up there to pay, take care of those guys. So basically, you're looking at it for, you know, we had to get the money off to acquire him. But I think you now have three terrific scorers and shooters, and Banchero, Wagner, and now Bane. You have a very good defensive player in Jalen Suggs if he can stay out of being hurt. And then you have center by committee. You know, they have three guys playing the center position, you know, Wendell Carter, Mo Wagner, and I just think they have guys that are, you know, they have to do it. I think they're a playoff team, not a championship team, but I think they've improved themselves.
You know, the immediate reaction from everyone was, oh my God, they gave up so many picks for Desmond Bane. Okay, cool. The Knicks gave up five picks for Mikal Bridges. Okay. And it's, you can't look at all picks as being weighed equally. When you look at the picks that they
Absolutely.
gave up, really the most valuable one is going to be the Phoenix one, if they can get the pick swap. Because Orlando, you know, if they stay true to course, Paolo's 22, Franz is 23, and those guys are supposed to be all-star players for the rest of the next 10 years, maybe.
Sure.
Okay. So your picks are going to be in the late 20s anyway. The Eastern Conference is wide open next season. The Celtics are hurt. The Pacers are in the finals right now. Teams are looking at them thinking that could be us. The Cavs, I don't know what's happening with them, but it's another year without playoff success. The Knicks, they still can't find a coach. The Bucks, Dame's injured. So the East is open. And I love the aggressiveness of the Orlando Magic making this move. You're bringing in a guy who's one of the league's best shooters since he stepped foot in the league. And most importantly, is not a liability on the defensive end like a lot of great shooters tend to be. So now you've got Franz Wagner locked up in a contract till 2030. Jalen Suggs is under contract till 2030. Now you've got Desmond Bane, who's under contract till 2029. Then you're going to have Paolo's extension kicking in. So your core four players there are solidified now. There's no question marks about anything. There have been rumors about Anthony Simons for years going to Orlando Magic. They were talking about Darius Garland. Now it's all settled. This is the team that you're going to run with. And even though Desmond Bane isn't a star player, he is great for this team because he doesn't need the ball in his hands a lot. Because if you watch how they play, Paolo or Franz has the ball most of the time. So having the ability to space the floor should make their lives easier. And also having that offensive outlet with Desmond Bane knocking down 40 plus percent of his 3-point shots, I think it's a great move. The more I think about it, the more I like it for the
Yeah.
Orlando Magic. I don't know if they're, I'm going to call them a championship team, but I could see them making the Eastern Conference Finals next year.
Well, even if not, I think they have a chance to be in the second round. And if they get to the second round, anything can happen. But biggest thing, having coached there in Orlando, very close to ownership, they're great people. They're great for the community, and they've really taken the team from really, really bad and built it back up in a proper way. And this team really is one of the teams in the league that cares about character people. This is a big time character guy. So I think overall it's a really good move for them. See, if you have a really good team, in theory, you're going to pick in the 20s anyway. So
Have all the picks because the rookies ain't going to get minutes on a team if we're trying to
You're
compete
not going to
either.
get, yeah, you're not, and those guys aren't going to come in and you're going to say, and you know what? Memphis, they got to do extensions with Ja Morant and
Jaren
with
Jackson, they got to
Jaren
find the money
Jackson.
to pay him now, so they're going to
So
try and sign and trade Santi Aldama away.
you know, so now this allows them that freedom to do that. And they're going to draft players to fill in their roster spots over the next several years.
So you don't see them tearing down the whole thing. They're going to keep
They're
building
not.
around
They're
Ja Morant
definitely
and
not.
Jaren
No,
Jackson.
they're definitely not. No, they have to keep filling up that building. They're one of the teams in the league that's one of the lowest performing revenue teams in the league, along with the Pelicans. So they need to just, keep Ja and Jackson as their cornerstones and then build around those guys.
Yeah, well, hopefully Ja can stay healthy and stay out of trouble, and we get to see a full season from Ja Morant next year.
That's a flip of the coin, my
But
brother.
that is another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. So make sure you guys subscribe to the channel, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from, and check out the Coaching You podcast, the Coaching You app, coachinguplus.com. Is that the one?
That is what BLUSplus.com.
There you go. Check it out. Coach Sir has a ton of good content because we'll be back after game number six, which could potentially be the last game of the season, or
Could
it could
be.
be setting us up for a blockbuster game seven. I
Either
can't
way, it's
wait.
been a great, great finals, and this is what NBA playoff basketball is about. Two teams that we didn't know what we were going to get. But we've gotten really great, exciting games, and that's what you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been one of the most enjoyable finals I've seen in a number of years. So the competitiveness, the unpredictability of these games, we're there thinking, damn, are these guys coming back from 18 down again? Like,
Our friends in Europe and throughout, international fans, from football over there is nothing like home teams going crazy, for their team. And that's what we're seeing at both venues, both the OKC and the Pacers. That makes for good basketball and good event.
let me ask you this before we get out of here, Coach.
Sure thing.
You've been watching the Club World Cup.
I
It's
just
over there in the States, right?
I don't know where the hell it is, to be honest with you, but I know it's around, but
It's over there in the States. You can flick it. I think they got some games. Oh, the game's just finished tonight, but it'll keep you entertained in the off days between finals games.
I have no off day, Mo. I have no off
There
day.
he is. There he is, my guy. Coach Sir, appreciate you once again. You guys, appreciate you for listening. Stay locked in. We'll be back after game six. And until next time, like Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander tonight, get buckets.